Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, January 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome travel planner Gene Gagnon back to the show. Whether you're looking to escape winter's wrath or planning a summer getaway, Gene is here to offer her advice and expertise to help make your trip enjoyable and safe. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York, and has more than 45 years experience in the travel industry. The number to call, 800-348-2551 if you have a travel question, 1-800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon and your travel calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you're about to take off on a vacation or maybe just starting to look at possible destinations, this show is the show for you because we are joined today by Gene Gagnon, a 45-year veteran of the travel industry. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of Certified Travel Counselor in 1985. Gene has traveled extensively throughout the world and is called upon often to share her expertise with the public via TV and radio, and including here on WAMC, as well as in print media. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at the University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Gene specializes in VIP travel, custom planning international itineraries, and group travel. Always fun to have Gene Gagnon here. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon, welcome back.
Thank you, Ray.
Every time you come back to the show, you've been somewhere else. So why don't we just get it over with and tell me where you've traveled.
Okay. I had the pleasure of going to Morocco.
Ooh, nice.
Not once, but twice.
Would you forget something?
That's very good. No, actually, when I put together the first trip was 20 people in October, the interest was so high that I decided to put together another group and took another 20 people in December.
Ooh. And which time was the weather better?
Well, that's interesting because the first trip, it was very, very warm in the cities. Mm. It was, 95, 96 in Marrakesh. But the desert was very comfortable because
yeah.
We did both. Mm-hmm. And in December, the cities were much more comfortable, but it was a little chilly in the desert, especially we overnighted two nights in the desert. So that we were in tents.
You were in tents.
Very nice tents,
tents. These are the luxury tents.
They're
this
not...
isn't Gene with a backpack.
No. Gene does not do that.
No.
They were let me put it this way. I had somebody who camps on the trip, and they thought the tents were luxurious. I also have people who have stayed at luxury hotels, and they thought the tents were not as nice as they thought they were going to be.
Well, they're kind
of in the middle.
Don't you think those people who had stayed at luxury hotels would have said, oh, it's a tent. It's not going to be like a luxury hotel.
True, but there's a flushable toilet and a shower.
How do you do that? What do you do? Bring your own plumbing?
I did not ask the specifics they do that.
Interesting. So that's in Morocco.
That was Morocco.
How long were you there each time?
About 11 days each
time.
Nice. And it's really an incredibly beautiful country. I learned a lot. A lot of my preconceptions about the city and the countryside and the people were just totally blown out of the water. Friendly, outgoing people, incredibly green in some areas. It's like called the breadbasket of Africa.
Yeah.
They supply a lot of apples, believe it or not, to Europe. I was going by apple orchards. You would have thought I was out on the Helderbergs or
something.
Did you try
one? It
was beautiful. Yes.
How do they taste?
They tasted great.
Well, remember, there are many different kinds of apples. I've done
That's
apple
right.
shows, and there are many different varieties. Anything special about a Moroccan apple?
No, just make sure you peel it. That's the biggie.
Make sure you peel it. All right, we'll save that one for Food Friday. Gene Gagnon, welcome back. 800-348-2551 is the number. This email came in from Pedro before the show started. Pedro writes, I'm going to go on a trip for a week with my family to Geneva, Switzerland at the end of April. Can you give me some insights on things to do there in this transitional season weather-wise? We are an outdoorsy family and would love to do some hikes, but also see some of the castles around the lake.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of great websites that you should check out. First of all, anything by Frommer's, Fedor's, and Rick Steves. They have great websites. You can search the particular country. They'll give you great ideas about things to see and do. Mm-hmm. Because there are some beautiful day trips from Geneva. Geneva itself is a beautiful town, and then there's also some beautiful mountain villages, some good hikes and things you can do from that. If you don't want to do those on your own, there's also a couple of good websites, including Get Your Guide and Viator, that actually show you what kind of day trips would be available so that you don't have to worry about driving. Maybe hop in a minivan with a couple of other people and they'll actually take you around and things like that. So I would highly recommend that.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we'll start it out with Joan in Half Moon. Hello, Joan, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. Our family has planned a trip to Australia and New Zealand through a travel agent. It's kind of a custom, semi-custom type trip. And it's scheduled for October and November of this year, which happens to also be, I believe, the beginning of their next spring-summer season, which means fires again. We're really concerned, and we don't know whether we should just cancel the trip or whether we should take a chance and hope that things are going to get better and that a lot of the places that we were hoping to see, which would be, aside from Sydney, we wanted to go to Kangaroo Island, the Daintree Forest in Port Douglas, and the Barrier Reef, and Uluru, which I know has not been impacted. But most of those places are on the coast, which is where a lot of the fires are. What do you suggest?
Okay, well, first of all, Joan, make sure you have cancellation insurance as part of your insurance package, and ask specifically what allows you to cancel for things that are affecting your destination. Okay, so you want to make sure of that. And number two, I really have to say that the media has a job, okay? If they're reporting a fire, they have to show the fires. If they're reporting riots, they have to close in on those riots. They don't show the people around the corner who are still going to and from work or to school or whatever. And in Australia, we've been in contact, because we have clients that are going as well. We've been in contact with the tourist boards, with the hotels, the regional visitor societies, and the majority of things in, especially New Zealand, you know, is fine, but the majority of tourist sites in Australia have not been affected. There might be a smell of smoke one day, and then the next day there isn't, but the actual sites, with the exception of possibly Kangaroo Island, okay, the majority of the sites you mentioned have had little or no effect on tourism whatsoever, okay? Most of these are in the bush. Okay, they're not in the rainforests. They're not along a lot of the coastal areas. They're along the coast in general, but they're inland. Okay, so I would just recommend that you keep an eye on it. Double check what kind of travel insurance you have. I have to tell you, if it was me, I would not cancel my trip.
You would not. Okay. Well, that's wonderful to hear. The only other thing I would like some assistance with is, if it turns out that Kangaroo Island has been so devastated that they just, you know, are not having tourists there, or that it's not worth going, is there another place in Australia where we could see that degree of wildlife in one location?
Oh, gosh. It depends upon, well, I'd have to look at your whole itinerary, because you can't just pop something in. You might have to move some things around. But talk to your agent and tell them what your concerns are, because there is so much wildlife in Australia that should not be an issue. It really, really shouldn't. Kangaroo Island is very special, but it's also very, very quiet and kind of hard to get around. It's, I don't know what a horrible, horrible shame it would be if you didn't get there. I mean, I would try to get there. But if you couldn't, there's plenty of other things to see and do. You won't have a problem with that.
Oops. Okay. Thanks, Joan. Thanks for the call. You have been all over the world. Have you ever been to the Philippines?
No, I have not.
See the volcano erupting there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst natural disaster that ever you witnessed on a trip that you had booked?
That I witnessed?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Tidal wave, earthquake,
no,
volcano, asteroid strike, anything?
No. The scariest thing that people thought I was experiencing was when I was in Bermuda many, many years ago. There was a legal case where there was a gentleman who had tried to assassinate the prime minister, and while I was there, they were actually executing him.
Okay, but you had nothing
so
to do with
riots.
That, right?
So there were riots. No, I did not. But there were riots. And the hotel had asked everyone to observe a curfew, and we had to stay in. Now, of course, the news was showing these actual riots. And back then, this is like 30, 35 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. So all my family saw were these close-ups of riots in Bermuda. So I get off the plane when I fly back, and they're like, oh, my God, are you all right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, the riots Thursday night. And I was like, Thursday night, I was sitting in a hotel bar drinking margaritas. Yeah, I don't think
well,
it
Well, that
was,
doesn't surprise you know. Me. The Boy, I can't, you know, I've been to Bermuda. I can't picture a riot ever occurring.
I know. Isn't it bizarre?
Let's take a break. Gene Gagnon is our guest. We're just getting started. It's Travel Today on the program. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop Travel Today. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551. The number. Gene Gagnon is our guest from Plaza Travel Center. Two emails here, Gene, and then we'll go back to the phones. This one is from Christine in Watervliet. I may be traveling to London in March with my family for 4 or 5 days. What places would be good for elementary age kids as well as for the adults' first trip to London?
Okay. London is fabulous for young kids because there are so many iconic things that they'll see.
Yeah.
London Bridge, Big Ben. Make sure that you get to the Tower of London, which is not only where Henry VIII executed his wives, but is also where the two young princes were and captured. It's very exciting, and you have the Beefeater guards, and you can go see the crown jewels. Kids love that.
Yeah.
Another great thing is, you can actually go on Tower Bridge. Kids love that, too. The British Museum, which is very similar to our Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few interesting things there. They would love that. Any ride on a double-decker bus. Make sure you get into the taxis, because the taxis seat like about a family of 12, they're really big and they're kind of fun.
What about the big Ferris wheel?
The huge Ferris wheel. You got to do the Eye. That's on the opposite bank. Yeah, the Eye is fabulous. A lot of things for kids. If you have extra time, you could do the zoo, but you don't really have that much time, 4 or 5 days. Also, if you get the London Pass, okay, make sure you get the London Pass. It includes admissions to most of these things. It includes skip the line, and it also includes like a ride on the Thames. The kids like that as well. The Eye isn't included, but there's a lot of things that are. So go online and look up the London Pass, and it's a great value and a lot of things that kids are going to enjoy.
All right, this one's from Kate. I am going to Costa Rica for a week on the 19th of January. I'm planning to take out some cash in the local currency because every time I've traveled internationally in the past, I always get international service fees every time I use a credit or debit card. Is there any type of prepaid debit card or something that you can use outside of the country that will not be subject to the service fees?
Well, again, every single bank is different, and I'm in the travel field, not the banking field. However, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, you want to call your credit card company before you leave and say, is there a currency conversion fee if I use my credit card? So first of all, you want to make sure that anytime you use your credit card itself, that you're not paying an additional 2 or 3%. There are many, many credit cards that do not charge this currency conversion fee. But from what I understand from your question, you're really more concerned about cash. First of all, you can use U.S. dollars quite a bit in Costa Rica, quite a bit. A lot of places will take them, so there's no concern there. Another way you can avoid taking money out of your ATM and paying an ATM fee is by actually bringing U.S. cash and changing it at the airport. Not a lot, okay? You change a couple of $100 while you're waiting for your luggage. There is always, always, always going to be a place open. They know a plane's coming in. People say to me, how do you know they're going to be open? They'll be open.
How do you know you're getting the proper exchange rate?
Well, you're taking out $200. So if you're getting, you know, a percentage, a half a percentage off, you're maybe talking a $5 difference.
Okay.
It's worth it.
All
it's
right.
worth it. You're right. You're not going to get the best exchange rate. This is the order of best exchange rates. Okay. The best rate of exchange is on your credit card. Okay. Because that's a bank rate and it's done at the time it hits. To exchange cash would be at a bank at your destination. The next would be to exchange cash at the airport, even though in some places it's the same.
All right.
In Morocco, it was the same. The worst place to get cash is in the U.S. because you're not going to get a good exchange rate.
Oh.
Yes, there are places you can go to. People tell me all the time, oh, I already bought 100 euros. Well, that's great. And maybe they didn't charge you to buy the euros, but your exchange rate stinks. And just to double check that, the last time I went to Europe, I stopped in Kennedy, for example. Kennedy has these places you can exchange money. And I said, what would you give me in euros if I gave you $100? Okay. And it was 79.
Mm.
Okay. When I got to Portugal for those same $100, I got $85.
Oh, that's, yeah. I see what you're saying.
At the airport.
Yeah.
So you're much always better off getting the money. Now, you can go look around and maybe your the ATM fees are different with your regular checking, with your credit union. You know, you got to check around and see who's got the best ATM fees.
Does anybody still use traveler's checks?
No.
No?
No.
Do they even exist anymore?
I don't even know, but no. No one. We tell people don't even think about it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the phones we go. Jean Gagnon is our guest. Rebecca in Northampton. Rebecca.
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca.
This is Rebecca. Hi. I'm going to be going to Italy. My son is living in Padua,
mm-hmm.
and I'm visiting him, but then I'm going to take a trip over to Cinque Terre.
Oh, lovely.
With my brother, sister-in-law, and my partner, the four of us. So I'm trying to figure out what the best way to travel from Padua to the Cinque Terre would be. And I looked up trains, and it looks like it's kind of complicated. You have to take three or four trains. There's nothing direct, which led me to think maybe we should rent a car. But I also understand that you can't have a car at Cinque Terre.
No, you can't. You can't.
You walk.
Are you looking, when you're saying that you looked up the train schedules, I don't know if you're looking to La Spezia or if you're looking to Monterosso. It depends upon what city you're looking at. La Spezia is the larger city, so it might be easier if you look going into La Spezia. Because the other problem is there are very small trains that run between the five towns of the Cinque Terre, which is what Cinque Terre means, is the five towns. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But they have very little train services. It's almost like the Metro North. You know what I mean? Downstate.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you here in the U.S. try to look up something on Amtrak, it's not going to include the Metro North schedules, even though, you know, that might be more convenient. So it's the same thing in Italy. You're looking at the big Italian trains, whereas there are little trains that go between the towns. So first of all, make sure that you're looking about getting to La Spezia, not to one of the little towns in particular.
Okay.
Because then from La Spezia, you can either take the little trains. There are ferries. There are ferries between the five towns. You can walk between the five towns. It's very easy.
How far are they apart?
Some of them a mile or two, and they're beautiful walks.
Yeah,
you know, they're above the ocean.
That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to walk, and maybe take a boat if we, you know, if somebody in our party can't do the.
Well, you want to alternate. You know, the nice thing
to do is
alternate. Like maybe from La Spezia, take the ferry to the first town, and then walk to the next town, and then take the ferry to the next. You know, because they're beautiful. It's beautiful to see it from both ways, from seeing it, you know, at sea level looking up and then walking on the cliff tops looking down. So you've got to look at it both ways.
Yeah. And do you think 4 days is enough to make it worth it?
To go to Cinque Terre for 4 days? That's
yeah.
I'd say absolutely. That might even be long.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, because...
Because it seems...
In my opinion, I mean, they're very beautiful to see, but once you see them, yes, you can sit and have a coffee and look out at the sea.
That sounds good.
But yes, that's very relaxing. But most people don't go to Europe to relax. Most people, you're paying all that money to get to Europe. You want to see things, you know?
Yeah.
So so maybe combine it with something else, you know? I don't know if you're going to see Florence while you're there. You know, you could maybe go to Florence first and then go over. I don't know if you're going to be...
We do want to... Padua, we're flying into Venice, and then Padua is quite close to Venice.
Yes, it is.
So we were going to go back to Venice and look around there, and that was another thing, was the flooding.
No, take that out of your mind. Don't worry. No, don't worry about the flooding.
Don't
when are you going? When are you going?
We're going in April.
No, that's fine. You'll be fine. Yeah, okay. I would definitely, you might want to include the trip to Cinque Terre with a stop somewhere else along the way. Because I think, and plus, I don't know if you mean 4 nights, which gives you 3 full days, or if you mean 4 full days, which means 5 nights. It's a big difference.
Yeah,
there.
I think 4 days, but the travel, that was why I went to the idea of taking a car, because it seemed like the train situation was going to take a lot longer to
get
but
you're gonna have to park the car and not use it then, so you're gonna be paying rental fees for the whole time. Not a good idea. That's not a good idea.
Okay.
All right, Rebecca, well, have a great trip. Thank you very much. Our number is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. I guess my philosophy is completely different. I go on vacation, my goal is to sit and look at the ocean. I mean, that's it. I don't want to do anything
that's
else.
Fabulous. That's probably why you don't go to Europe a lot.
Yeah, well, it's where reasonably I don't go anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but if somebody really is calling us and saying that, you know, we want to go to Italy, we want to see Michelangelo's David, we want to do this, we want to do that. The problem is usually trying to get them to cut back a little so that they can have at least one afternoon where for a couple of hours they sit at a cafe. Because sometimes people try to pack too much in.
Right.
Or they'll say, well, you know, I'll do it the day I get there. And I go, really? You're going to get off the train. You got to find your hotel. You got to check into your hotel. You got to throw some cold water on your face. Give yourself that afternoon to kind of relax, maybe just walk around and then start the sightseeing the next morning.
Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's Travel Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number, and Mark is in Pittsfield. Mark.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Mark.
I just wanted to give you a little heads up for local people. my wife and I decided to go on Labor Day to the Cape and thought we would be ending up staying on the mainland because it was going to be overcrowded with people finishing their summers. Fortunately, we got over there, and it was vacancies everywhere, half price, 2 nights for half price, and we always went to Nauset to see the waves, but the Nauset Knowles Motor Lodge is always full.
Yeah.
And we found a vacancy, and we went and we stayed for a week, half price, and the Nauset Knowles Motor Lodge is the only motor lodge in Cape Cod that is grandfathered into the Cape Cod National Seashore. Therefore, the only thing between you and the surf are the dunes. It's a beautiful place. It's wonderful. And if you're going to go Labor Day, go in May before Memorial Day or after Labor Day. Everything is half price. It's wonderful, quiet, no traffic, no tourists. It's a beautiful place to go.
Thank you for the information. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Gene Gagnon is our guest, and Jerry is in Plattsburgh. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. Very quick question. Your guest, Gene Gagnon, she gave some websites when you began. Could you repeat them?
Of course.
And maybe... be a little bit more specific, because I don't know if I got them all written down.
Okay. One is Viator, V-I-A-T-O-R. One is Get Your Local Guide.
Mm-hmm.
Fromers, the old Arthur Fromer website, F-R-O-M-M-E-R-S, good general information. Rick Steves, S-T-E-E-V-E-S, very good general information. and Fodors, F-O-D-O-R-S. And the reason why I recommend those rather than just going on TripAdvisor and reading what other people say is because I don't know about you, but if I'm going, for example, to a new restaurant, I would rather read a media professional's review of it, like, let's say, a Times Union restaurant review,
right,
than reading a whole bunch of TripAdvisor reviews, because sometimes people write bad reviews.
They have an axe to grind.
They have an axe to grind, or the waiter spilled wine on their lap. That's
right.
Not really a review. So I prefer professional reviews from professional people.
All right, Jerry, you got that information?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I like the way Jerry said your name.
Yes.
Gagnon.
We always said that it's my husband's name, but we always said if we ever moved and started all over again, that's how we would tell everybody to pronounce it.
But you want me to go that way, French route?
No,
Gagnon
one would know.
Gagnon is okay?
Yeah, Gagnon's okay, because otherwise nobody would know who the heck you were talking
and
about.
And if you say it slightly differently, you could sound like an alien. Gagnon, Gene Gagnon is our guest. Let's go to Julie in DeLanson. Julie.
Hi. My family and I are traveling to Ireland for 2 weeks in August. We have a 9 and an 11-year-old children. One of the questions I have is just some suggestions of things to see, but I'm specifically wondering about renting a car. Just, I've read some of the things online, travel in Ireland, and wondering your thoughts about that and how we might avoid having to pay a lot for insurance as well to rent that car.
Well, this is interesting because driving in Ireland is insane.
Really?
Well, they have, you know, you have to get a bigger car because you're a family and you've got luggage and stuff like that. And they have these little lanes where they have shrubs on each side.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that there's like a brick wall like right next to the shrub. And you've got these big motor coaches driving all over the place. And you're driving on the left-hand side of the road, which means you're shifting with your left hand instead of your right hand. So, I do have suggestions. So, first of all, manual will be cheaper than automatic.
But you'd be a lefty.
But yeah, you got to get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of roundabouts. I mean, sometimes I have a hard time in a roundabout when it's
right.
driving on the right hand side
price
of the road.
Shopper.
Exactly,
right, I gotcha.
Exactly. And you do. Unfortunately, you have to bite the bullet and get full rental coverage. The reason being is, for example, you could get a tiny, tiny little scrape, but the deductible might be $1,000. So you have to get full insurance coverage. I can't tell you, I'd say probably every other person that I have that rents a car in Europe has some kind of issue.
Yeah.
Either the car got scraped or something happened. The other thing is you have to be exceedingly careful of the laws, the rules. I had somebody who got a camera ticket in Germany. They were going 2 miles over the speed limit. So not only did they have to pay the fine, but the car rental company had to charge them a fee because they're the ones that are contacted by the police. Then they have to track you down. It's a lot of paperwork involved.
Oh, come on.
So you have to, number one, make sure you follow the rules of the road and the parking. Make sure you get full rental coverage. Prepaid rates are usually lower than not prepaid rates. And just be aware that a mid-sized car here is not usually as big as a mid-sized car there. I've had people come back say, we had to put the luggage on our laps, you know, driving around. So, yeah, they're small. The boots, as they say, are sometimes very small.
Julie, good for you?
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
It's so funny that you mentioned a friend of yours who got a ticket on a camera in Germany because my neighbors went. And they also got in the mail a little surprise.
Well, who knows? Maybe they are one and the same people. We'll never know.
As my neighbor said, it's quite shocking in a land that has such liberal driving speed
that's
limits.
That's funny because that's what my client said as well.
We'll have to talk on the next break. The number here is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. And Karina in Barrie, you're up.
Yes, hi there. I had a question on travel brokers. I used to travel with some from California, and they always had better buys on airlines, and I didn't know if those are still in existence. But also, I'd like to know why we don't have many of the last-minute deals on airlines, like in Europe. you know, they'll say London this weekend for $100 round trip, that kind of thing. We don't really have cheap airline flights here.
Well, it's all supply and demand. Believe me, if they had empty seats that the airlines had to fill at the last minute, they'd give them away. We don't. We have many, many more hotel rooms and places for people to stay than we have airline flights. And that's part of the problem is that, I mean, you look around just where you live, all the different hotels going up. And this is just, you know, the Albany Capital Region area. There's hotel after hotel after hotel. In major areas where people want to go, there's too many hotel rooms, but not enough flights. So I remember I had a lady who used to always travel at Christmas time, and she said, why is this so expensive at Christmas time? Tell them to put on more flights. And I was like, they don't have, you know, 10 planes sitting around not doing anything. Those planes are already doing something else.
Maybe they should get a couple more.
And what do they do when the flights aren't full?
Rest them up.
Yeah. Okay.
Rotate them out.
Okay. Ray. Yeah. All right.
You know what? You're a shill. You're a shill for the airline, Sheen Gagnon.
No, I think what people get confused sometimes, they think the airlines are benevolent charities, and they are not. They are a business. I disagree with many of the things they do.
Yeah, I know.
But they're not going to do it if it wasn't because they want to make money.
Yeah.
I tell people, they go, well, how can they charge so much? And I say, if you had a garage sale and you found out that one item you had was worth a lot more, would you give it away? No, you would charge more for it. So it's all supply and demand.
Well, Karina, thanks for the call. We have to take a break. Gene Gagnon is our guest, and the number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's travel today. This one came in from Diana via email. We have plans to go to Thailand next January. It's a one-week trip. We're looking to break up the trip home, and we're thinking of a second week in New Zealand. Any thoughts of how to break up the trip home?
Well, I have to tell you, the example that I can use is Hawaii. People come into our office all the time and they go, I want to break up the trip in San Francisco or wherever. Yeah. I'm not a big proponent of it because to me, the biggest chunk of change that you're probably paying for is your airline ticket.
Yeah.
So take advantage of being there as much as you can. You know, that's your best value for your airline ticket. If you've got another week to spend in New Zealand, spend it in Asia.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? New Zealand properly takes 2 weeks. Thailand and some other areas that are near it could also take 2 weeks. So my thinking of is, you know, spend as much time as you can in the destination that you're going to. However, if you do want to break it up, New Zealand would be a decent option. I would have to look at the flight schedules to make sure that Auckland is actually on that same routing, because sometimes they're not. But
you think Hawaii might be a better bet?
It might be, but I don't think the flights are going to be there for it. I don't think the flights are going to be. Maybe Papeete in the South Pacific, because Papeete does a lot of international flights. So that might be a better.
Have you ever been to Thailand?
Time. No, I have not.
A buddy of mine just got back.
Yeah.
Said the food was phenomenal.
Oh, I'll bet it was.
The traffic was also a little rough.
A lot of that. I hear a lot of that from most of Asia.
This one is from Deborah. I just retired and would like to find resources for traveling outside the U.S. as a single 69-year-old woman, not interested in cruises or trips where travelers are bussed everywhere, looking for groups to join or organizations that offer more adventurous exploratory trips, or would even consider self-planning resources.
Okay, so self-planning, we'll hit that one first. When you're saying self-planning, that means you're planning it yourself.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like it to me, which means you're not going to use a resource like a travel agent or something like that, which is fine, but you got to remember, you don't know what you don't know. And there are people that have been in the business for a very long time. I can cut my own hair if I want to. I choose not to.
My wife cuts my hair. Look at that. See, look at that. Isn't that nice?
Like I said, you should go to professionals.
Cody,
are good.
Gagnon.
But as far as groups, there are adventure travel groups that cater to different age groups. So you can definitely research those online. You can get on a mailing list for groups that that leave out of that particular area. So, for example, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I kind of am.
I think you
so,
are.
Yeah. So we do groups, for example, and we have single women of a certain age that travel. They like to get their own room, but yet they like to travel with a group. So somebody like you, you would want to get on, in this case, my website. But then I'm sure there are other agents that are out there that offer the same type of thing.
Yeah.
So you got to get on somebody's website and get on their mailing list so that you can be notified when a particular trip is coming up. Because there are groups that do what you're talking about. Now, the whole thing about busing, sometimes it's the only way to get around in order to see a certain region within a certain amount of time. If you were just going to go to one place and not go on a bus anywhere and stay right there, you don't need a group tour for that.
Yeah.
You can just self-plan that yourself. You know, you want to go to the Riviera and just sit on the beach all week, then you don't need a group trip for that. You can self-plan that very easily. However, if you want to try to make use of rail travel and see many other things, then that's either more extensive planning on your own part or just join a group that does that. Just okay. Read through the itinerary carefully and always ask, how long are we on the bus that day? Because maybe it's only an hour, maybe it's 8 hours.
You know, I watch TV a lot and at night for the few minutes before I fall asleep. And there are always these ads for these cruise lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like 15 stories high. Number one, I don't know how they don't topple over. Number two, how is it you have a go-kart course on a boat? How's that working out?
Okay, so this is the thing. First of all, if a cruise line, if a cruise ship is 15 stories high.
I don't know if it's
15,
but it's
huge. No, they are. But you have to remember that they're equally deep.
Well, how do you get it into any port? What, do you have to go to a Navy deep water port?
A lot of them you have to tender. So they have small boats that come out to the ship and bring you in and out.
You have to row out in a dinghy?
And you go, they're motorboats. But yes, there's a huge, huge range of size of ships that are out there. You can go on a ship that only has 500 people on it, is much more intimate, is more personable. You can go on a river cruise that only has 150 people on it. It's only three stories high.
Yeah.
And then, yes, they have these huge cruises.
Unlimited drinks, I saw. They had me right there.
If everybody liked the same thing, we would only have vanilla ice cream.
Well, here's the thing. I want to go for the go-karts, but Mr. Paranoid is afraid of pirates.
Ah, well, don't worry. Where the go-kart cruises are going, there are no pirates.
Really? Do they have guns? Do the crew have guns just
no,
in case?
No, they do not. Right, even on the ones that you're talking about that go like near the coast of Somalia and things like that, those are where the pirates are off all the coast of Africa. You, Ray Graff, would not be going on a cruise there.
All right.
Trust me.
All right. This one is from Mary, and then we'll get back to the phones. Any suggestions for a trip to Galapagos? Do you recommend staying on a single island or booking a trip in a cruise to several different islands? And how rough are the seas?
Well, first of all, you cannot stay on the Galapagos Islands.
Unless
you're
a bird.
That's right. You actually have to be on board a ship. The ships are very small. You can do a trip that just does the Galapagos Islands, where you go in and out of Ecuador. In and out of Quito, Ecuador, or it makes a great combination with Peru. You could do Machu Picchu and Peru for 1 week and then do the Galapagos before or after. So definitely you're going to be on a cruise, on a small cruise ship. They are not the cruise ships that Ray and I were just talking about.
No, with the go-karts?
Right.
Okay.
They are not like that. Fine. They're very small. They're more like expedition cruises.
Okay.
So that is the way to do it, and it's a beautiful destination. But I would combine that with something in South America as well.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Mark in Deerfield, Mass. Mark, you're on. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Mark going once. Hello, are you there? He's doing the dishes. Sorry, Mark, you waited all that time. Now we really got something going here. Hello, Lynn in Latham.
Hi, Gene. I'm wondering if you might have any suggestions for transportation from the Capital District to either Boston or JFK for the two airports for flights to Europe.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to drive, and I'm just wondering what options there are.
Not a lot of options for Boston. Not a lot of options for Boston. You can just hire a car and driver. We've got information on that. You can get that
online. I've done that, and that's so pricey. I was wondering if there was anything else.
You're paying somebody to go there and come back.
Yeah.
There is shuttle service to JFK. That's a great service. There's a couple of companies that offer them. The only problem is they only leave once a day. So if it leaves at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and it gets down there at, let's say, 1 o'clock, and your flight is at 7 o'clock, you're going to have to wait those six hours to go out. But they're much more reasonable.
Right.
Whereas a one-way sedan would probably run you anywhere from $375 to $425 one-way per vehicle. You know, so if it says three people, it's shared. If it's one, you're paying yourself. Whereas the shuttle service to both Kennedy and Newark, by the way, they have them to both of them, is only around $65
That's
each way.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, and you're in like a minivan. Now, the problem is if you're looking at your return flights, you've got to make sure you're getting in around 2 or 3 o'clock because the shuttles leave down from Kennedy around 5:30 p.m. or 6 p.m. every day.
I see.
So you've got you've got to be aware of the schedule when you're booking your flights.
I see. Okay. That's good to know. I didn't book the flight yet. So Okay. And how would I just Google shuttle services?
You could do that, or you could call your local travel agent.
Oh, that's another option. Lynn, thank you very much. I mean, is it cost effective to just fly from Albany to one of the big airports?
Well, you cannot fly from Albany to JFK.
What about down to Newark? You could fly
down
there,
right? You can fly to Newark. However, they're smaller planes. They have a different ceiling that they have to have. They get delayed a lot. So you're either going to have to book it early enough so that you then have a 3 or 4 hour layover anyway, or you're going to take the chance that you could miss your flight. So we don't recommend it.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I've taken the turboprop from Albany to Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not a lot of fun. Yeah, if you're near one of the props.
Well, these
are
small jets, but they still have different weather requirements that bigger planes do. And flights to Europe are canceled much less frequently than domestic flights are. So your flight could be canceled out of Albany, but it's not canceled out of New York, especially if you're traveling in the wintertime. So in that case, we do recommend fly out of the major metropolitan.
Okay. Back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Susan in Sunderland, Mass. Susan.
Hi. Sadly, I tuned in late to the show because I love when you're on, Jean. It's great to hear you.
Thank you.
Are you related?
I wanted to.
No relation. Okay. Susan, tell him we're not related.
No, she's my aunt.
I knew it.
That's a lie.
I wanted to add on to the person who I heard when I first tuned in who was asking about cars in Italy and Cinque Terre.
Yeah.
My friend and I rented a car. We flew to Venice, trained down to Florence, then rented a car for 4 days, and we dropped the car off in Rome. And what we did was we tootled around Tuscany. We drove through Cinque Terre. We didn't get out and hike around there, although it's very beautiful. But what I wanted to tell the person was we stayed in a small ancient town called Volterra, V-O-L-T-E-R-R-A, which is very beautiful. It's one of those places where you can drive to it, but you can't drive inside the city walls. We stayed in a castle that was 300 years old. It was very, very beautiful.
Neato.
So, Susan, you know how I can tell?
Jean, I wanted to ask you for myself if you have any recommendations of out-of-the-way places around and north of Barcelona.
Well, how far north? Do you want to do the whole northern coast? You're going to go up to Bilbao?
Go someplace and sort of spend some time there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably have like a two-week trip.
Well, 2 weeks. Well, it would really depend. It's something that I'd have to really sit and talk to somebody about what they want to do. You're saying north of Barcelona, but do you want to be on the northern coast of Spain, or do you still want to be you know, I'd have to, we'd have to sit and talk about something like that. But there are beautiful, beautiful areas along the northern coast. And then there's also...
Is it the county of Galicia?
Yes, yes. Now, but why northern Spain? I mean, have you already done the area to the west of Marbella and near Malaga?
I only had a tour of Spain, which was, as I call it, sort of a popcorn thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go here, you go there, and you kind of forget where you've been because you did so many things and spent so much time on the bus.
Yeah.
But we did. We started in Portugal, went south all the way through Portugal, then went east into Spain and bussed up to Madrid, and then we flew from Madrid to Barcelona.
Okay, okay. So I would recommend, if you were going to do northern Spain, that you I wouldn't spend 2 weeks in one location.
No, I would
maybe go to Bilbao plus some of the other locations on your way to St. Sebastian. I would. That's what I would do, is I would do that whole northern coast in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, you know, because just sitting still in one place up there, you're not going to be as close to the other things that you're going to want to see as you would in a different destination. Like if you were in Marbella and you wanted to go to Granada and Gorton, and Seville, you know, that would be a great location for that. But I'd really have to.
Yeah, because we didn't spend that much time around that area, you know, Seville and I don't know Marbella. How do you spell that?
Marbella. It's a great place to go to because it is along the ocean, and yet you're mm-hmm. only you can go up into the White Towns, you can go to Seville, you can go to Granada on day trips.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to spend like 2 weeks someplace, that would be a great place, and then you can even go to Gibraltar from there and then go to Morocco.
Well, Susan, thanks for the call. Let's quickly go over, and we only have about 90 seconds left here. Let's go to Linda in Arlington. Linda, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Unfortunately, I lost my husband a year and a half ago, and I've been trying to take him around the world with me, and I have a close friend going to my issue next spring. I'm wondering how difficult South America, Central America are to transport ashes.
Oh, it's ashes.
Oh, it's ashes. Oh, I don't know. I'm very, very sorry. I just don't have...
I wanted to see the world afterwards.
Yeah. Right, right.
Over.
I mean, what about the idea of having like a locket made or something that has some of his ashes in it, and then you have him with you all the time?
Oh, I already do that.
Okay, well then I think that's probably going to be the best bet because I'm sure there are laws.
Regulations.
But I don't know what they are, and I wouldn't presume to tell you anything about that.
All right, Linda. That has come up before, believe
mm-hmm.
it or not.
Yeah,
but
it has.
I'm sure it doesn't come up that often in your
line.
No. Well, Jean Gagnon, how do people find Plaza Travel on the web?
They can find us at plazatravel.net.
Okay.
We are also on Facebook, Plaza Travel Center, and there you can see lots of our pictures, like from Morocco.
Well, very nice.
And they can also call us at 518-785-3338 or email me at Jean, Jean, at plazatravel.net.
Well, very good. Thank you, Jean. Support comes from Bergeron Electrical Services for over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net. Paul Smith's College, the College of the Adirondacks, offering degrees in management, natural sciences, hospitality, forestry, psychology, and more. Paul Smith's College, it's about the experience. paulsmiths.edu. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. Thanks again to Jean Gagnon of Plaza Travel for being here. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, and to Susie Chekai for answering the phones, and to our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian join us to solve your computer woes. Stand by now for the book show.